have a seat. We're continuing our series in Blessed Assurance. And our working definition for this has been a declaration to remind or reassure oneself of the promises of God. Now, our title today's message is God Keeps His Word. So I want to take a survey real quick, and it's going to take crowd participation. So here's what I wanted to know. There have been times where we've been lied to. There's also been times that we think we've been lied to. Let me explain. There's been times where Tanya and I are out with the kids, especially when they're younger, and we'd say, hey, guess what? We're going to go get some ice cream. As soon as we stop here at Home Depot, we'll stop and get some ice cream on the way home. And they're like, yeah, ice cream. And then all of a sudden the gas light comes on and we're like, oh my goodness, we need to pull into the gas station. So we pull into the gas station. We're like, what? You said we were getting ice cream. You lied. We're like, no, we didn't lie. We just had to get gas first. And then, you know, we had a change of plans. And so we didn't know, but you said we were doing this next and we're not. And you lied to us. You shouldn't lie. So I want to pull a quick question. You're not settling a family dispute. I'm just helps us get into later on. But how have you considered, first of all, the definition of lying is to intentionally deceive someone. So if someone says like, hey, did you clean your room? If you said yes and they weren't clean, that would be lying. You can always tell if your kid's going to grow up to be a lawyer if they say, define clean. I know we got some lawyers at our church. I'm not picking on you, but I am. So I'm curious, how have you think that we all agree that lying is intentionally deceiving someone, but how many of you categorize lying as a broken promise? I said we would do this, and it didn't happen. So because that was a broken promise, you categorize that as that was a lie. How many of you, let me see your right hands, straight elbows as I say. Okay, we've got several people here. Yeah, it's like you said we were going to do this, and you didn't, so you lied. There's that version of lying. Then there's also the straight up, I know what the truth is, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, a lie. Regardless, is neither one of us like either scenario. Okay, someone promises ice cream, they better come through. Tonight, we will have ice cream at our business meeting. I will come through for you, I promise. But we also don't like being deceived. How many of you hate it? Absolutely can't stand it when someone lies to you. Let me see, straight elbows. There's a lot of, okay, yeah, that's what we say. I think almost everyone says, you know, I don't know if very many people go, I love being lied to. It's so fun. It keeps me guessing, you know. I don't really see that, but most people hate being lied to. Let me ask you this question. How many of you ever lied? Evangelism tip 101 for you. All right, this is true. Let's put this in your hip pocket and use it. The next time you invite someone to church and they say, well, I don't want to go because I don't want to go to church because they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Go, I understand. Hey, can I ask you a question? Do you like being lied to? Like, no, I can't stand it. It just makes your blood boil, right? Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. Have you ever lied? Yeah. Hey, come join us. You'll fit right in. I'm telling you, when the next person denies you come to church because we're a bunch of hypocrites, there's a lot of avenues going, yes, I know. But the reality is we have all at one point in time have probably not delivered on something we said we'd deliver on. We said we would get there by 10 o'clock and it's now 10:30. My wife and I are building a house. I promised her the framing would be done this week. They started yesterday, you know, that kind of thing. So we're working on it. But we hate being lied to, whether it was by accident, a broken promise, or downright being deceitful. We don't like it. Well, let me give you some comfort. God doesn't lie. Matter of fact, you're filling out your bulletin. We got 2 points today. God does not lie. You say, well, Paul, how do you know? Well, for me, I base all of what I believe about God off the word of God. Not with just what I think, not just what I've come to know through life and experience, but through the scriptures themselves. Look at Numbers chapter 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and he will not, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not fulfill it? God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man, and his attributes are not humanistic. When we think of God, we look at him through the human lens, because that's all we have, okay? So when we look at the attributes of God and we look at the fact that he's kind and gentle and his humility and his mercy and his love, we look at that through the filter of our humanistic eyes. And that's not necessarily bad because that's all we have, but it's not the only way we should look at him. God is not born of anyone. He always has and always will be. And who is his character? He's not a man that he should lie. It's interesting that that's categories as men, that men would lie, that we as human race would lie. He's not a man that he would lie. He's not born of a man that he should change his mind. You say, well, hold on, what does that really mean, change his mind? What that really means is in the original language is to basically be manipulated into a change of mind. Parents, you know exactly what that is. You know, can I go spend the night at Tim's house? Well, I don't know. Go ask your father. Hey, can I go spend, I don't know, go ask your mother. She told me to come ask you. I'm like, oh, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, well, here's why I should be able to go to Tim's house, because I did this and this and this, and I know you don't want me to because we got this going on, but let me persuade you into this. I don't want to manipulate that. Matter of fact, if you do this, I will do this. I promise to keep my room clean all week long. Parents, we've never heard that, right? I promise I'll come right home and I'll do this. If you let me do this, then I promise to do that. And that's sometimes exactly how we talk to God. Hey, God, I really need you to do this. Matter of fact, God, if you will show up in this way, this is what I'm going to do for you as a result. God, I promise I won't ever do this if you'll just come through for me in this area. He says, God can't be manipulated into his decision. He's not one of us. We kind of waver a little bit. Well, you know, I really do want a room clean and, you know, it's not really that big a deal. Okay, fine, I'll change my mind. You can go. God is not that way. God does not lie. He does not change his mind. He cannot be manipulated. Remember when we were debating whether breaking a promise or not being able to come through was a lie versus being deceitful is a lie? Well, with God, it doesn't matter. To God, it doesn't matter, because if you look at Hebrews chapter 6, look over at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. This is so cool. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise of the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. You say two unchangeable things. What are those? Himself and his oath. How many of you have to always say the words, I promise, at the end of something to reassure you're going to do it? Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? You go say, hey, you're going to be there at 10 o'clock to pick me up from baseball practice, right? Yep. Promise? I promise. And if there's really a broken trust, there's like, you promise, you promise? I promise, I promise. Promise, promise, promise? Pinky promise? Why? Because our words sometimes don't mean what they should. We said we're going to do this and we failed to deliver. We said we would uphold this and we talked bad about them behind our back. We betrayed someone's trust or honor. And so we have to declare our words with an oath. We have to say, hey, we're going to do this, and I swear by it, is what that means. God says, my word alone is good enough. But to reassure that you understand what I'm talking about, I will reaffirm it, not only because my words are true and I cannot lie, I will do it on behalf of an oath. I will swear by these words. You're like, well, God doesn't have to do that. You're right, he doesn't. But to reassure us that he cannot lie, that his words are true, he says that. So by these two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. And I love that verse 17. So when God desired to show more convincingly the heirs of his promise, the things that God promised, this will come. In order to convince the people who are listening to God that he will do what he says, he will also give an oath. He doesn't have to. But he wants to convince us and persuade us to show us and demonstrate to us so much that his words are true, that he cannot lie, that he will also say, and with an oath, this is what I say. So I found that really interesting and awesome, because we do that. We have to create these promises, with these guarantees. Matter of fact, companies now, in order to, you just can't order something. You order something by Amazon, it's like guaranteed delivery. If not, there's, you know, you get a discount next time or something like that. At least hopefully you do. You know, because the whole world is broken on their word. And so everything has a guarantee. Everything has a warranty. Everything is going to be, we assure this and we affirm that this will happen and we will make good on these words. God's like, when I speak, I don't need all that other stuff because my words are true. My words are eternal. My words are right. My words are holy. But to make it, to reassure you, here's an oath that I will make with you to show you that I cannot lie. Now, one thing about humans, us, is that we do those things. We make promises. But the other thing is we kind of speak out of turn sometimes too. And we will also not say, I promise, but we also say these words, well, God told me. Now, you'll know as your pastor, I don't like that phrase. I don't like the phrase, God told me. Because here's why. There's no debate. There's no you being wrong in that situation. What I try to say is I believe this is what God has spoken to me, or this is what I believe God has told me, or this is what I believe the Lord is leading me to do. Because you know what? I've made some really dumb decisions, and I've talked myself into every one of them. And so have you. When you were younger, or maybe last week, and you made a stupid mistake, guess who talked you into that? You. Maybe you had some peer influence, but right there with you was you. And so for to come back and say, God said, the only times you're going to hear me God said is when I'm actually reading out of the text. Because I will be honest with you, there's some times that I've gotten it wrong. I've convinced myself, yes, the Lord wants me to go and do this. And the funny thing is, most of the time when we convince ourselves that this is what the Lord wants us to do, it benefits us in some way. Have you noticed that? Most of the time when, even with TV preachers, they'll say things like, the Lord just spoke to me and this is the year of the double harvest and this is the year and everybody needs to do this. Somehow, in all those moments, it benefits that person. It's a gain to the person. The kingdom of God is really kind of left at a distant second, third, or fourth in that moment. Yet when I look at the Old Testament and I look at the prophets of God when they spoke, very few times when they opened their mouth and said, thus saith the Lord, was this, by the way, everyone's going to get a raise, everyone's going to get a new job, your cars are going to last forever, and all you have to do is just send in this, you know, miracle check and this cloth or whatever. I don't ever see that happen, but very few times do these elaborate promises come. Most of the time it's like, hey, here's God, he's holy, you're not, get your act together. So when I hear preachers and they're like, hey, the Lord spoke to me and we need to do this and everything is just, you know, hunky-dory and rainbows and unicorns, I honestly just take a step back and go, okay, how do I know that is from God? And for me, I believe there are three main avenues that God speaks to all of his children. One, the scripture. Two, the Spirit of God. And three, through other people. And by the way, this is not a two-thirds majority vote win. Okay? This is not if I can feel it in my heart and get a friend to agree with me, we're good. This is, what does the word God say? Is what I'm doing, we're going to act on, line up with the scriptures? Is the Holy Spirit leading me to do this? And is also being confirmed by God-fearing people that I put in my life to help guide and direct me. And a lot of times when we use those, you know, God said, we're just, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I promise. We're just going to, our words don't matter. His do. So for me, I'm going to lean off the eternal words. When I give advice or direction or counsel, I want to go here. Not just, I know you're angry, I know you're mad, and yeah, I think it's right to get back at this person. Let's look at what the scriptures say. And most of the time, that's where we're most conflicted. A couple weeks ago, we talked about forgiveness. I know there were probably some of us that were conflicted with what we wanted to do in our heart, what we felt in our mind was justified, but yet what the scriptures say. We can't just go off what we think is best or what our friends say. It's got to all be together. This is not a two-thirds majority vote. We have to have the scriptures, the Spirit of God, and the people of God in agreement with what we're doing. Now, the other reason why I love the fact that God keeps his word and the fact that we have proof that God keeps his word is because of this. He's faithful. His attribute, who he is that he's faithful in what he says and what he does. Everything about God is faithful. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Just a couple pages over from where you are now. This is such an encouragement to us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. You say, well, what does that really mean? Let me put it to you in a story about my dad and I. My dad's a pretty good carpenter, okay? He's pretty good with his hands. He's very technical. He can change things on his truck. He can build things. Gene skipped me, as you guys know, as your pastor. That one blew past me. I think my son Jacob picked it up. He was working on his truck this week. His door panels completely ripped off, and I walked out and started breathing into a bag. You know, he had a YouTube video, completely stripped his door down, got a friend to help him, and fixed his own truck. I was like, God bless your ministry, son. I'm so proud of you. I can't do that. I can't. My dad and I were building a swing set for our kids in White Rite when we were younger. My dad said, hey, I don't remember the exact length, but he's like, hey, come out here, measure this 2x6 at 95 inches and mark it and use the square that's really a triangle and mark it. Got it, Dad. Go to measure. I can't find any board that's 2x6 because they're not really 6 inches wide. Newsflash, okay? So finally got the one that was closest to 6 inches. I marked 95 inches, cut it, he goes to cut it, and boom, he hangs it up there, and he's like, it's short. He says, son, I told you 95 inches. We marked it again, 95. We marked the board, 94 and a half. Son, I can't do that. So you can't just put the screws in the side and kind of cinch it up, you know? He's like, your children are going to be on the swing set. I'm like, good point. My dad's success of building that swing set was dependent on my ability to measure and cut. Or measure. He did the cutting. He could have actually still messed up, but that's to be debated. I think it was still me. But his ability to be effective was dependent on my ability to measure. When it comes to God, not the case. I don't care how short we cut our board. When we are faithless, God remains faithful. His faithfulness is not dependent. He's not saying, hey, Paul, here's the deal. I need you to do X, Y, and Z so I'm able to do these, you know, A, B, and C. That's not the case. He is not dependent on our works to be successful as God. He is God. What he says is true. What he says is right. What he says is holy. What he does are those things, his attributes. He cannot lie. Being able to lead people to him is not dependent on just our works and our abilities, but he chooses to use us. That's the great thing. So here's the thing. You're probably going to mess this up 9 times out of 10. And most of us would say, well, let's not hire that person or work with that person. God's like, that's the person I want to use. I want to get that person who can't quite get it right and that they are completely dependent on me to do the work every single day. The more meek we are, the more humble we are, the more God sees us as apt to be used by him. His ability to use us is not dependent on our ability at any level. God is faithful. And one of the things I'm most grateful for of his faithfulness is in Romans. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 37, says, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not on your own, but through God, you are more than conquerors. For I am sure that neither death or life or angels, rulers, things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he does not need a thing from us to remain faithful to these things, this promise he's given to you. He's not saying, hey, church, if you will do A, B, and C, then nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. No height, no depth. If you will promise to each day, say this, do this, be this, then. This is not an if-then statement. This is a just imperative. This is a fact of who God is. You are more than a conqueror, not on your own strength, but through me. And for I'm sure that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, nothing can separate you from the love of God. He is faithful. And the thing is whether you feel like that's true or not, it doesn't matter what you feel. We go off what is said, what is true. There's a lot of things in my life that I don't feel like doing. The other day, I like to walk around the hills and get a good sweat on and get my heart rate up and walk about 3.5, 4.5 miles around the hills in this area. It's a lot of fun sometimes. And I remember my son and his friends were having this Marvel movie marathon. So like every night, I've got like 9 teenagers at my house watching all the Marvel movies. It's awesome. Till 1 o'clock in the morning, they're done. And I got to get up at 5:30 and all that other stuff. So I wake up and we get Jacob out the door to band camp and I lay back down and Tanya just very lovingly says, "Oh, I thought you were going to walk today." Which what I heard was, "Get up and go walk." And I just rolled out of bed and I go back about an hour later. I come back. She's like, "Oh, so you went?" I was like, "Yeah, because you guilt tripped me." She's like, "I just asked if you were going." I did not feel like going on this walk. I didn't. I certainly felt good when I got back. I was drenched in sweat, and I was like, man, I did that. I closed my activity ring for the day, and it's only 6:45. This is awesome. I'm so excited for myself. But I didn't always feel like doing things. But that, if I only do what I feel like doing, I'm going to miss out on so many other things. If you only believe the things you feel like you should are true, you're going to miss out on all the promises of God. Because there's a lot of days you're going to wake up and you're not going to feel loved. You're not going to feel appreciated. You're not going to feel forgiven. You're not going to feel those things. And you and Satan's got you right where he wants you to pin you down. And you go, no, wait a second, stop. I may not feel like those things, but I know to be true by what the Holy Spirit says to me, what the Word of God says. And I've surrounded myself with people who affirm those two things. And I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. And nothing can separate me from God's love. Despite how I feel right now, this is what I know to be true. And God does not lie. And he is faithful in everything that he has said. When our words cannot be faithful, when our kids have to look at us and go, "Promise?" Because we've broken some trust. We've been late to soccer practice. We didn't actually pull through the McDonald's drive-thru and get ice cream because we didn't want to. And we just, you know, we were hoping they would kind of forget. And we've broken our promises. Everything that God has spoken, he brings to true. He says, and you know what? There's a lot of people who are doubting even the fact that I'm God and what I say. Fine. And these two unchangeable things, I will make an oath to you that I cannot lie. And what I say, I will do. Church, be encouraged that the God that we serve, the God that we love is faithful to us, and whatever he says, he's not out to trick us. He's not out to get us. I know sometimes I've been around people and they go, "Oh, you got me there, God." God is not out to trick you into obedience. He's out there to love you and draw you unto himself. So with that said, let's close in a time of prayer. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. And we'll close in a time of worship and response and just singing of God's faithful words. His word reveals things to us. Jesus, thank you that we have the word of God to guide us, that we don't have to run around guessing. You've given us a clear instruction through the scripture. And you have filled us with your very own spirit to lead us, to counsel us, to echo the very word of God. Let us surround ourselves with people who are dedicated to the Word of God, dedicated to walking in the Spirit, and that we as a people of God would be true, and that we would hold to the very things that you've called us to, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for how you lead us and you care for us. Let us sing for joy as your Word is a revelation to us. In your name we pray.